Daniel Aitza is Mashiach. And of course, the Pasuk Li Aitza is Mashiach. The Pasuk speaks about the Torah itself, and the commission speaks about one who's Osik the Torah Lishma. Apparently, one who's Osik the Torah Lishma becomes one with the Torah and naturally acquires the qualities of the Torah. I was supposed to be in a Bernice here many years ago when he was not nearly as busy as he is now with so many matters of Tzach and Tzibur, teaching countless lives through his perceptive ages, which are spread constantly on all kinds of matters, large and small. I have personal derech ha'karas to Brittany for not only giving me a derech in learning in my formative years, but his ongoing hadracha, and the many ways in which he's been helpful to me personally and my family ever since. Rabbi Yonan Shari Tshuva speaks about the importance of coming during a Seres Tshuva to hear the Bris Orus. All of you are the Bakshe Hashem, and it's a tremendous credit to you that you come here, and it's a schus for all of us during the Mehadim. And again, I want to thank Rashida so much for coming and that for the do.
Tosfos in the end of Megillah that goes on the Gemara in the end of Megillah that the Gemara says that if a Shchodesh Menachemav comes out on Shabbos, so what you should read in the Aftira is the Perek in Yeshaya. Chodsheichem u'moyadeichem sono nafshi. Since it's Rosh Chodesh and it's the beginning of the month of Av, at the beginning of the days of mourning, al pi halacha from mourning of Yerushalayim, so you should read an aftorah that's discussing the galus of Yerushalayim, and part of the reasons that Yerushalayim had a downfall is Chodsheichem u'moyadeichem sono nafshi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hated the Yom Tovim and the Rosh Chodashim that we celebrated because they became something very hateful. Interestingly enough, on Yom Kippur we learn from Yeshaya something similar about the HaKadosh Baruch Hu not appreciating our feast, because it's hollow and meaningless. But this is not appreciating our celebrations because they were hollow and meaningless. Anyway, Tosfos says, but that's not our custom. We don't read on Rosh Chodesh Menachemav Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, which means that on that year, Tisha B'Av is on a Sunday, so we don't read on the second Shabbos of the 3 weeks this after, but rather we read in Yirmiyah. And Tosfos says it's a machloikis within the Talmud Bavli and the Psikta of Rav Kahana, that the Psikta has a different order of Aftoris. Those are the 3 weeks that we lay in, which is the first Perek in Yirmiyah, Divrei Yirmiyah, the second Perek, Shimu Dvar Hashem, and only on the third week, which in this year, that kind of a year, would be the day before Tisha B'Av, the eighth day in Av, and that would be Chazon Yeshayo. Not like it says in the Gemara. Once Tosfos gets on that, so Tosfos teaches us that the Psikta has a 12-week sequence of Aftoris. 3 weeks are mourning, Puronios, they discuss the Churban, destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, followed by 7 weeks of condolence of Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the famous seven, they're called in the Lashon of Chazal the Shiva de Nechemta, 7 weeks of Nechama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers us his condolences and his encouragement that great days are coming and all this suffering is only transient, and at the end of all of it we're going to have a tremendous glorious everlasting future. And then come two Aftoras of Tshuva. The one that we're going to lay in this Shabbos, Tshuva Yemitzah Shem, Tshuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha, from Hosea and Yoel, from Treyasar. And then there's another one that's Dir Shu Hashem Bi Yimotzai Kriyu Bi Yisakorov, that even though there are Rishonim that's done also on a Shabbos, but that complicates the Cheshbon. But we do it on Tzom Gedalia, even though we do it on all fast days, but when we do it on Tzom Gedalia, we're doing this sequence of 12 Haftorahs in succession, 7, 3, and 2. That's the Tosfos. And Tosfos comes up with a question. What happens if this Shabbos, Vayelech, because of an Haftorah that had to be derailed during the 7 weeks, we haven't yet done all 7 of the Nechemta. And we're in a dilemma to do the 7th Haftorah of the Nechemta or Shuvah Yisrael at Hashem Elokech on Shabbos Shuvah. So what would we say? Shabbos Shuvah. Shabbos Shuvah is not a coinage from the calendar. The Rosh calls it Shabbos Shuvah in Rosh Hashanah. And it's it goes back to the Rishonim, Shabbos Shuvah, the Shabbos of that you lay in Shuvah. Even the Shabbos Shuvah is already a speech that the rabbi gives because it's Shabbos Shuvah, and he gives his own version of Divrei Yisorus for Shuvah to Yom HaKippur. Shiva Nechemta would seem to us as a very nice thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is offering us encouragement. We had already 6 weeks of encouragement. Nachmu Nachmu Ami Vetom Etzion Ani Yosowara Anoichi Anoichi Rani Akora Kumi Yairi and Soisas. So we're up to the 7th one. Soisas is Bashem. And that's what one of the Rishonim in Tosfos, they call him the Rav HaChovel. I don't know what the name is, but that was the name of this Rishon. He was the Rav HaChovel. It's probably, we're going to lay in on Yom Kippur by Mincha about the Rav HaChovel in Sefer Yonah. That's probably refers to a captain, Rav HaChovel. So I imagine there was a Balatosfos that was called the captain. Rav HaChovel was a very, he was that's a title for a Balatosfos. He's the captain. That's a leadership role. But Tosfos says from Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer HaYashar, not like the Rav HaChovel who tells you to skip the 7th of Nechemta and rather do Shuvah Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. No, lo ke Rav HaChovel, not like the Rav HaChovel. Tosfos uses very, very strong language. Ahoifechu mevalbel. He turns things upside down and he makes a whole mix-up. Haftorah is a very powerful weapon that the Chazal gave us, and a gift that we have the opportunity every week to hear a short segment of Divrei Nevuah being recited from the Nevi'im HaKadoshim. And it makes a difference what we're going to be hearing from the Navi this week. And Ibald, he says, because he says that we should listen to Shuvah Yisrael and not the 7th one of the Divrei Nechama, Tosfos says that Rav HaChovel is a hoifech u'mevalbel. But you're supposed to do like Rabbeinu Tam im yeshorin nechtam. It's a play on words which probably refers to the Sefer HaYashar l'Rabbeinu Tam. And it's probably a tshuva in the Sefer HaYashar l'Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam im yeshorin nechtam, who says, no, finish the 7 of Nechemta. And on this Shabbos Shuvah, when that comes out that way, you should forego laying the Haftorah of Shuvah Yisrael. Rather, just get the whole 7 Nechamas one after the other, and don't suffice with 6. It's more important, obviously, for a successful Yom Kippur, is to finish all 7 Nechamas and relegate Shuvah Yisrael to the Shabbos after Yom Kippur. Tosfos gives a reason why it's fitting for the Shabbos after Yom Kippur. To us, this sounds like something very, very revolutionary thinking. It's Shabbos before Yom Kippur. Shuvah Yisrael is the assigned Haftorah. Something came up and we couldn't finish all 7. The real thing that really came up in this Tosfos is something that's not relevant to our halacha l'maisa, because it's talking where Rosh Chodesh Elul got in the way. And if Rosh Chodesh Elul gets in the way, So many poskim say that you push away the Shiva and the Chemta for the Haftarah of Rosh Chodesh. But it doesn't count, the Haftarah of Rosh Chodesh. But we have a solution that we combine on Parshas Kiseitse, that we do both the Haftarah of Kiseitse, which is Roni Akara, and the Haftarah of Re'eh, which is Aniya Soyara. But in the time of Tosfos, that didn't seem to be the custom. So they ran out of Haftarahs. So better to finish the Nechemta and leave Shuvah Yisrael, leave this Yom Kippur not being a beneficiary of the Haftarah of Shuvah Yisrael at Hashem Elokecha ki chashalta b'avonecha. That's something that needs serious explanation. Mm-hmm. We can't explain that we should understand the what it matters if we got six or we got seven. For that you have to be very spiritual and very in tune with what the Yiddish and the Neshama requires. But the concept we could learn. Why seven is that much of a game changer? But on this Shiloh, what's better? To do the Nechamas properly and finish the whole course of Nechamas rather than do Shuvah Yisrael on a Shabbos before Yom Kippur, that's worthy of discussion, and one has to understand why would that be so. The short answer is obviously that getting the relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam right is of more vital importance for doing a wholesome tshuva than just being exhorted to do tshuva even on the level of a Navi. If we have a choice to hear from a Navi words that will propel us directly to tshuva, these amazing words, Chuimachem Dvarim, Meshuvu El Hashem, many, many words, both in the portion of the Haftarah from Hosea and the portion of the Haftarah from Yoel, are very powerful about tshuva. But it seems that Rabbeinu Tam, halacha lemaisen, it's generally accepted in the Paiskim, that the halacha would be like Rabbeinu Tam and not like the Rav HaChaim. They feel that obviously we need seven nechemtes, seven haftarahs of nechama after where we were at on Tisha B'Av, that distance that we felt on Tisha B'Av, that sense of rejection that we felt on Tisha B'Av. And it even commemorates that terrible night of the Meraglim, which was the very first Tisha B'Av, the Mishnah says in Tainus, that the five things that happened to our forefathers on Tisha B'Av, the very first one is that the Meraglim came back from their 40 days. And we all know what happened that night. The Gemara in Taina says, we cried a Bechiyah Shel Chinam. Parshas Devarim, it gets even more difficult than that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebukes us because we said that the Sinas Hashem Oysanu, and we became panicky, and Am Yisrael became panicky about the Meraglim's report, and we didn't feel confident that we could overcome the Canaanim coming into Eretz Yisrael. So we understood that to mean that the Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to bring us to the promised land successfully and safely. And all this that led up to that moment was almost like a tease. We crossed the Yam Suf, we went through the Midbar, the Mitzrayim received their punishment, and yet now when it's time to go to the promised land, it's going to be insurmountable. So in the weakness in our Emunah, we took that as an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's being our adversary. Sinas Hashem Osanu. An adversarial relationship that the Ribbono Shel Olam has with us. Rashi points out, if one if you feel that someone is your adversary, that really means you're his adversary. And that disconnect that we thought and perceived from HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a disconnect within us. That's what Rashi says in Parshas Dvarim. But that led to millennia of Tisha B'Av. We're now way, we're about the 2,965 mark of Tisha B'Av since the last Churban. Something like that. And year after year, we've grown further apart. Because what happens on Tisha B'Av? We introspect in where we are and where we are in the world and all the galuyos and being assimilated among the goyim, living among the goyim. And we start reviewing historically what all that was inflicted upon us throughout all these years. So we experience on Tisha B'Av more than any other day in the year. We feel like children that were sent away from their father's table. We feel distance. It's not a way that we could properly serve Hashem. From a feeling of distance, from a feeling of disconnection, we can't properly serve Hashem. So the Chachamim, in their brilliant foresight, taught us that we need 7 weeks of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a Navi, the Navi Yeshayahu, reaching out to us. Week after week, in different Nevuahs, with different words of Nevuah, the Navi comes and seeks us and tells us what kind of a glorious future. And he tells us HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us, and all the suffering is transient. And all the suffering is for our is beneficial for us. It builds us. It makes us sturdier. It makes us more, it solidifies us. And we need it. That's a whole series of 7 weeks. So it takes full 7 weeks. That's the full course of treatment. The full course of treatment out of the abyss of this connection on Tisha B'Av. To coming right back to the appreciation of a loving Ribbono Shel Olam and correct our relationship from a distant and a disconnected one to a close and intimate one. That's a 7-week process. And Rabbeinu Tam teaches us not finishing the process, not closing the deal, and stopping after 6 weeks instead of having the full 7. Is a greater impediment on a successful Yom Kippur than missing out the Navi's Musa Shmuas, Hoshea and Yoel. And that's why whoever doesn't understand it, Tosfos writes, is a Hofech u'Mevalbel. He has his priorities wrong. He thinks that by giving Musar, we're going to close the deal with Yom Kippur. If the relationship isn't there, Musar isn't going to help. We need the 7 weeks to correct the relationship. Make it a wholesome one. And feel that intimate connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then Yom Kippur works. Then you appreciate what a chait is. Then you appreciate who your chait to connect on. Then you appreciate the wrong of not obeying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commandments. The positive, the negative. And somehow that does bring out in us a want for slicha, mechila, the kapara. It also brings out boishti v'gam nechlamti, pushes are such an important integral part of Yom Kippur. Dikaon, submission, hachna to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But all that is only really possible if the relationship is the way it's supposed to be. And Tosfos teaches us, you need the full course of 7 weeks, 7 weeks of nechama, to get the relationship to where it's optimal for galus. And then you could go into Yom Kippur, and that's more important, much more important, than foregoing a shuvah Yisrael al Hashem Elokecha. But really, it goes much beyond that. This is interesting. Narayisi Gamza Kanti. And I never punk this year, Parshas, I think it was Parshas Gedoshim, that I really got it. And I'll share it with you. Everybody in this room has on one time or another heard about the famous Chazal, which is a Gemara in Shabbos, about the person that came to both Shammai and Hillel, that he wants to convert, wants to become a Ger Tzedek, but teach me the entire Torah on one regel, on one leg, a regel achas. So Shammai, the whole Torah on one leg. So Shammai, the Gemara says, Shammai pushed him away, and Hillel embraced him, and Hillel went with him, explained him. So he told him, the pasuk says, "V'yohavta l'reyacha kamoicha." Love your friend like yourself. Madahaloch sani, what you don't like to happen to you, don't do to your friend. If you get that clear, idach perusha zil gemur. The rest of the Torah is only an elaboration on this concept. Azoy shteitin the gemur. Since we're children and we heard this gemur for the first time, or when we were adolescents or adults, whenever we heard this the first time, but I'm sure there's nobody in this room that didn't hear that gemur. Doesn't make sense. This only covers, maximally, it covers Bein Odom Lechaveiro. We're not tempted to think that Yiddishkeit is about Bein Odom Lechaveiro. It's certainly not only about Bein Odom Lechaveiro. Bein Odom Lamakom. There's a whole Torah of Bein Odom Lamakom. So if I'm going to have the right feelings, and I'm going to get zoned into the feeling of Yohavta L'Reacha Kamocha, so now I got the whole Torah on one leg. What was he telling the Ger? How do we understand that? So he push it. Everything maybe has indirect shaykhs. And that might be the second shot in Rashi in Masechta Shabbos. That literally, if you're really perfect, the Menon L'Chaveroi, that does take care of a very big section of Torah, which includes Bein Odom Lamakom also. Because there's a lot of Bein Odom Lamakom that has a Bein Odom L'Chaveroi aspect to it. So you could get to a Bein Odom Lamakom level of perfection through Bein Odom L'Chaveroi. It's not easy. Rashi only picks one part of the Torah in addition to Bein Odom L'Chaveroi, but that's the second pshat in Rashi. The Chiddush is the first pshat in Rashi. The first pshat in Rashi is out there. It's Rashi. Rashi in Gemara. But I don't know that as many people that know this Chazal know this Rashi. The Eitz HaHara, in his wondrous ways, he wants us to know the Chazal without the Rashi. Because if you know it without the Rashi, it's not an understandable Chazal. So if it's not understandable, it has a smaller effect. Rashi says the following. You know which Reyacha this is alluding to? There's a pasuk in Mishlei. Reyacha v'reya avicha al tazer. There's a certain being that's your best friend and has always been the best friend of your father and your grandfather and all the generations before. And that's the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a person's best friend. And Hillel was telling this man, internalize that. Internalize who the Ribbono Shel Olam, the relationship that you have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that relationship that you have with the Ribbono Shel Olam is such that you should not be able not to follow his commandments. Why? Because how could you not do what a best friend asks for? How could you? Would you want that you should ask someone for something and he shouldn't listen to you? So your best friend needs something from you. You need something from your best friend. And he just says no. Isn't that devastating? Something that he could do for you. He just had something more important to do that day. Don't you feel that it's disloyalty It's undermining the relationship. It's violating my trust. All kinds of concepts. Look, I'll read you the Rashi. Reyacha v'reye yavicha al tazoiv. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al tavar al dvarav. Don't disobey him. Because look, Alecha sonui, you hate that your chaver will not listen to what you say. Shayavar al dvarecha. He's giving this fellow a trick how he could sustain his gayrus. How he doesn't burn out of his gayrus. Now you have to understand who came to Hillel. Hillel knew, just like we do, the whole sequence in the Rambam, Hilchas Yisurei Biya, that there's a whole sequence how you makabel a ger. Guy doesn't walk off the street and say, Rabbi, make me a ger. He says, okay, I won't let you. Okay, fine. Love your fellow friend, and then you're Jewish. Okay? We know that there are rabbis that do that. But they're only called rabbis. They aren't, but they didn't get smicha from this yeshiva. Unfortunately, there are such people, but that's not gayrus. It's probably not even valid, such gayrus, obviously. Who was Hillel talking about? A person that went through the whole sequence of gayrus. He was makabel gayrus. He did gayrus. He was makabel mitzvah sincerely. He really mean they tried to push him away. He didn't want to leave. He had no ulterior motivation in being megayer, just from lachsos tachas kamfei hashchina. But he was afraid. He told Hillel, but I'm not used to this. This kind of a life. It's constricting. It's so restrictive. How am I going to manage with all these restrictions and all these obligations? How am I going to do it? I'm not used to that. I'm used to freedom. I live the way I want to live. I do what I want to do. And even if I'm a good guy, I have 7 mitzvahs. That's about it. We never realize, you know, Lashon Hara isn't one of the 7 mitzvahs. It's a whole different world out there. Sheker. You know, we all get annoyed with the president for saying sheker. It's not one of the 7 mitzvahs. Well, check it out. The Rambam doesn't bring it. There's no such a show. It's a different world. Sheker, Lashon Hara, things that by us define you completely don't exist in Sheva Mitzvahs. Sheva Mitzvahs are very broad and very, very narrow. And here he comes overnight, he sincerely wants to be Tachas Kamfei Hashchina, he wants the whole Taryag with all the Rabbanans, with all the Minhagim, everything to Kutzer Shoyud. Well, how am I going to do it? It's not, I'm not, I want it. My heart desires it, but how am I going to implement? So Hillel told him, I'll give you something that's going to give you the energies. It's going to give you the energies to persevere. If you accept that the Ribbono Shel Olam is your dearest friend, Kivayoch, and just sit back and realize he didn't have to create you. He didn't have to bring you into this world. He didn't have to take care of you. He didn't have to nurture you through childhood, through adolescence, through young adulthood. He didn't have to give you all the amenities that are available to you in this world. He's doing it just out of pure love. Where are you going to get a better friend than that? And if you're going to use your sense of decency out to interact with a best friend, and you're going to internalize on a deepest level that the Ribbono Shel Olam is that best friend, then the knowledge that you have that propels you to be mekabel ol malchus shamayim, that inner voice that tells you that's the MS, that's the daso MS, and I'm willing to leave everything behind and become a ger tzedek, this is going to get you through it. But just internalize and bring home the message, that's your chaver. That's your best friend. You don't have a better friend. There doesn't exist in the whole universe of closer friendship than the friendship that every individual person feels, could feel from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's how he has to be, the Ribbono Shel Olam should be treated. Not that you're doing mitzvahs because you have to. You're doing mitzvahs because there's an inner voice that's telling you, how could I not? How could I not listen? Now that I realize who Hashem Yisbarach is, how could I disobey him? And that's what he taught this fellow. He taught him, if you want a sustainable Yiddishkeit, remember who your closest Reya is. Ma da'aloch sani l'chav v'chaloysav. So it dawned on me that that might be the perfect shot for this Tosfos. Tisha B'Av, both the experience of Tisha B'Av and the commemoration, what Tisha B'Av is commemorating, is the breakdown of that relationship. Golus really only symbolizes the breakdown of that relationship. The wandering around the world is just the quote-unquote, the wandering Jew is a manifestation of that breakdown in relationship. 7 weeks of rehabilitation. 7 weeks we've been rehabilitating that internal disconnect. And if we do it rightly, and if we listen to the Navi, and if we follow the words of the Navi, these 7 weeks bring us back to where the last week's Haftorah, if you remember, Parshas Nitzavim, the high point of the seven Nechemta is Ki Mesois Chason Al Kala Yosis Olayech Elokoyach. The closeness is going to be the closeness of a Chason and a Kala at their marriage. A Chason and a loving Chason and Kala at the time of their marriage, that's the high point of relationship. There's nothing in the world that has a deeper, closer, more loving high point of relationship than that. And that's what's really going to be when Mashiach comes. It's going to be Kimesois Chason Al Kala Yosis Olayech Elokoyach. And we wouldn't have had that before Yom Kippur if we would have skipped it and done Shuva Yisrael. Sokta Benatam, you're less prepared for Yom Kippur if you forgo that seventh Haftorah and don't perfect the relationship and don't complete the therapeutical job of rehabilitating the relationship, but rather jump to a Musa Shmuz from the Navi Hoshea, Shuv Yisrael Hashem Elokech. I think that's something very insightful leading in to Yom Kippur. We don't have the case of this Tosfos. Not no Gael or Maisa, because we have already taken care of the double Haftorah and Parshas Kisaitzer. See, they held you can't double. You know, you can't do a double therapy session sometimes. It's not the way to do it. You gotta do it each week, one time. That's how the neshama works. That's how the psycho works. And you're gonna double in a session because either the therapist has to go on vacation or you have to go on vacation. It's wasted money, b'derech klal. So that's what they held. They're doing haniya soyara and rani akara, pile it in together. You're missing it done the way. We do it that way. Why do you think we do it that way? Because we're not on that level of neshama that it's real therapy. It's, you know, it's commemorating therapy. There were times when a yid was a yid and feelings were feelings and Yom Kippur was Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av was Tisha B'Av. We don't go too far away on Tisha B'Av and we don't come too close for comfort on Yom Kippur, unfortunately, and we have to be honest about it. That is the reality. So we could afford to double up on Parshas Kiseitse and still get ready and have the Shuvah Yisrael this coming Shabbos. But the lesson of the Tosfos is extremely compelling. It's a tremendous lesson. Yiddishkeit is contingent. And listen, whoever's coming to hear Divrei Musar 11:20, the night, Thursday night before Yom Kippur, is into Yiddishkeit. There's nobody in this room that's not into real Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is contingent on having a real, meaningful, intimate friendship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's psukim. The Haftorah Pashas Bamidbar, right before Kabbalah Satorah that we read every year on Bamidbar. Verastichli Be'emunah, Verastichli Be'tzedek V'vishtot, V'yodatas Hashem. And the Chazal say, the Mefarshim say, V'yodatas Hashem is from the same Lashon as V'yodam Yoda as Chava Ishta. Real intimacy. And that's a tzaddik. Tzaddikim are that way. That's dveikus. The concept is that we have to appreciate from the good that he surrounds us with, from the benevolence that we are on the receiving end of. And no matter how complex a life can become, but if we appreciate the relationship, then we even appreciate that the complexities of life are gifts and benefits. Rabbi Yoina writes in Shari Tshuva that there's a tremendous mitzvah that he calls it from the Malos El Yoinos, is Zichroin Chasodav Yisborach, that a person should always remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed that he does with us. Tremendous chasadim, gomel chasadim toivim. When he starts bringing psukim to enumerate those chasadim, so he says, V'yadata es kol haderech, V'zacharta es kol haderech, you should remember the whole traveling through the midbar. But then he says a powerful thing, V'yadata in levavecha, you should know in the depth of your heart that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you Yisurin, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you hardship, it's kashe yaser ish es benoi Hashem Elokecha miyasrecha. The relationship has to be such that when complexity set in, difficulty set in, and life becomes a little bit overwhelming for whatever reason, one has to internalize that it's kashe yaser ish es benoi. It's like a loving father rebukes a child or even gives some level of punishment to a child to straighten him. Hashem Elokecha miyasrech. It's all love. But it's not an abstract Yiddishkeit of love. Rashi takes that down to every single mitzvah. If I'm callous with muktzah, the most complex halachos, I don't properly make a bracha. Whatever it is in Yiddishkeit, in avodas Hashem, in mitzvahs and mitzvahs asay and mitzvahs lo asay, but it's all premised on relationship. It's not sustainable without relationship. The ger wouldn't have been able to sustain it without relationship. And our struggles in Avodas Hashem are not doable if there wouldn't be relationship. Re'acha v'rei avicha al tazoif. We always have to. Yom Kippur is some level of geirus. We coming in, and over the 10 days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the pasuk in Tehillim, the Am Nivra Yahalal Ka. The Goyim have borrowed this terminology, but it's a religion in the South. But the Chazal is Ba'am Nivra, there's going to be a born again nation. The Chiesh Uma Asidoli Boris, there's going to be another nation born. So an amazing Chazal in Tehillim, in Kapitel Kuf Beis, the Medrash, the Chazal say Kalape Adoris, there are going to be late generations. At the end of history, she'en kemesim b'maseyim. They're not really up to par. They're not really alive properly. The vibrancy isn't fully there. And Rabbi Shalom gives them a gift of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And they come into shul on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and they do what they're supposed to do. They rejuvenate. They acquire a new chiyus. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu recreates them, remakes them. He gives them an opportunity in the experience of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to, like, almost, I hate to use the expression, but it means basically to be born again, to be created again. Born again is a non-Jewish term, but we'll use it, recreated again. We're being Nivra again, Nivra Mechadash. That's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that's the Medrash. She says, what do we do in return? We take the Lulav and the Esrig and the Dalad Minim on the first day of Sukkot, and we go to Shul, and we say, Halleluka, Hallelu Avdei Hashem. And that's Va'am Nivra, the nation that was running out of life, was withering away. But Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur gave them another chance on life, another lease on life. So how did they respond? That's what the Yontav Sukkos is, Man Simcha Seinu. They take the Dalet Minim, and with the Dalet Minim, they show gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving them another lease on life. The Am Nivra, Yahalol Ka. Speaking about the relationship factor in Yom Kippur, I remind myself, as a very young boy, talking over 50 years ago, I had a mashgiach in our yeshiva who was a Talmud of the famous Musar yeshiva called Kelem. I don't know if any of you heard of it, but it was a very famous Musar yeshiva, Kelem. He was a Talmud there. So I remember during these days of Aser Simei Tshuva, he used to speak very, you know, down to our level. So many things stayed with me, many little concepts. He says, Rabbi Kiva was Yorid Lefnei Ateva, and he had this amazing tefillah that when not all else failed, he came down and he said these 26 times of Avinu Malkeinu. And he was Nene. And he was answered. You really look at Avinu Malkeinu, there's nothing exotic in the requests we make of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avinu Malkeinu. It's the basics. It's all the basics, elaborating on all the basics of life for the private person and for the public. What's the Avinu Malkeinu that has such a tremendous impact? So he taught us something very profound. We think the main part of each stanza in Avinu Malkeinu is the request. Chaton shlach en lanu melech lata, shlach refuah shleima, achzireinu b'tshuva, kasveinu, zachreinu, kasveinu, hatzmach. No. The main two words in every stanza of Avinu Malkeinu is Avinu Malkeinu. Once you've said Avinu Malkeinu, what do you want from the Avinu Malkeinu? I want this and I want this. But repeating again that unbelievable combination called Avinu Malkeinu. On the one hand, it's Avinu, the love of an Av, and the ruler Malkeinu. And if you internalize that combination, 26 times each tefillah in Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and on Yom Kippur, each tefillah, what is it going to do for the relationship? I saw this week in the name of the famous Mashgiach of Panovich. I don't know if he said it himself, but we also said it from his Rebbeim in Kelem. He said, Avinu Malkeinu means that the reason he's Malkeinu emanates from his love as Avinu. The Midah of Malkeinu, the Midah of Malchus, the Midah that he rules over us, that he has strict laws and guidelines and everything that govern our lives, Malchus Shamayim, that we have to submit to his Malchus. It's not the Melech wants the Malchus. The love of the Av wants that we should submit to Malchus. Avinu, because you are Avinu, you rule us as Malkeinu, because you know that's the best for us. Your love as a father wants that for us. Your love as a father makes that dynamic called Malkein. Rabbi Nishlan should help us the next few days get that feeling of closeness to the Rabbi Nishlan, so that when we're doing vidui and we're doing tshuva and we're thinking about the Cheshbon HaNefesh of the year, a part of it should be, how do we do that to such a loving Rabbi Nishlan? How do we disobey someone who's so close to us, who's so loving to us, so embracing to us? If we be zoiche, ta'achzireinu b'tshuva shleimu lefanecha, we will be zoiche to kosveinu v'chosmeinu b'sefer chayim tovim, together with the entire Klal Yisrael.